Welcome back, friends. Welcome back to The Corbett Report. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and thank you for joining me again here in September of 2024. As I'm sure you know by now, I had a production hiatus in August, and was working on some other projects behind the scenes, which I made some good progress on. But now I'm back producing the regular series that you've all come to know and love from The Corbett Report, Solutions Watch, New World Next Week, The Corbett Report podcast, and all the rest besides. So thank you very much for your time and attention once again, as I would like to officially reopen, as it were, The Corbett Report with this edition of Solutions Watch, that regular weekly series where week in and week out we are examining ways that you can improve your life specifically and hopefully the world generally for the better. And having said that, today I would like to announce I'm right back into things and hitting the ground running with not one but two different symposia? Online symposia that I will be a part of this coming weekend. That's right. So one of these is the subject for today's edition of Solutions Watch. It is the Say No to the NWO VIP Summit that will be taking place this Saturday, September 7th, 2024 at 12 p.m. Eastern. Be there or be square. It is being put on by the University of Reason at universityofreason.com, which you may or may not know is associated with the autonomy course run by friend of the show, Richard Grove. And you hopefully will be familiar with the VIP Summit, the Very Independent Producer Summit, because I participated in the first edition of the VIP Summit back, was it a year or 2 years ago? And the results of that particular presentation I posted up as a Solutions Watch called Finding Your Lifestyle of Liberty. So I will put that in the show notes for this edition in case you missed that presentation. But today we're going to be looking at my presentation for this month's edition of the VIP Summit, where I'm going to be talking about my own tips and ideas for productivity and how to essentially become an independent producer of your own. I'm obviously speaking from the media creation perspective because that's who I am and what I do, but I'd like to think that these tips are generally applicable no matter what you're doing. Having said that, obviously the actual live stream, which will be a live stream of this VIP Summit, will be taking place, as I say, this Saturday, but I'm pre-recording because by the time you're watching that symposium, I'm going to be in bed sleeping peacefully here in the land of the rising sun. So, all of that being said, that is what we're going to be focusing on today for this edition of Solutions Watch, but I would like to let you know about another symposium that I will also be part of this coming weekend, again, by a pre-recorded presentation, and that is the Attack on Food and Farmers and How to Fight Back symposium that's going to be taking place on September 6th and 7th. That's this coming Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be, for example, hosted and streamed on chd.tv. And the information obviously will be linked up in the show notes. There will be a number of speakers on the Attack on Food and Farmers that is demonstrably taking place and that I've talked about, written about at great length in recent years. But more importantly, how to fight back. And it is in that regard that I will be appearing at that symposium this coming weekend. So the links to both of those webinars, whatever you want to call them, will be in the show notes if you are interested in attending those live. But today, we are going to be looking at my presentation for the upcoming VIP, Very Independent Producer Summit. And please stick around, not only to the end, but after the end, I'm going to have a little bit of extra tidbit for you, just for the listeners of Solutions Watch. So here's the presentation, and stick around for me on the other side. Hello, everyone. James Corbett here, CorbettReport.com, with a presentation for the Very Independent Producer Summit. Number four, for those keeping track at home, Say No to the NWO, but you already know that. Thank you all for your attendance, virtual or otherwise, here today, and my apologies for not being able to be there in person, but as usual, as is the way of these things, the live stream is taking place at a time when those of us in the land of the rising sun are sound asleep, so I will probably be peacefully, blissfully unconscious at the time that you are watching this, but anyway, this pre-recorded presentation is for you guys. Thank you for coming out, and thank you to Richard Grove of the Autonomy Course and the University of Reason, Grand Theft World, and all of that, for inviting me to speak here today to you guys about well, say no to the NWO. And how do I do that in particular in my own way? Well, obviously by doing the Corbett Report. That is my contribution to the world. And I have some things to say about those young up-and-comers who want to become very independent producers themselves, about ways that they can do that more or less successfully, at least based on the experience I've had doing that for 17 years now at CorbettReport.com, which in internet terms I think is something equivalent to 170 years. I am definitely an old man on the internet at this point, so I've probably picked up a tip or trick along the way, or maybe two, or three, or specifically five, that I'm going to share with you today, and I hope they are useful to you. But I realize some of the other presentations here in this summit are going to be about specific programs or platforms or tools that people can use for productivity or what have you. I don't have anything quite that specific or concrete. I have some general advice and some just tips that have occurred to me over the many, many years of doing this research that I hope will be helpful to you. So let's dive right into them. As I say, there will be five tips today, or five pieces of advice. Number one is, don't wait for someone to hand you an opportunity to do what you want to do. You have to go out there and make that opportunity happen. And perhaps you have heard this before, but at least in my own experience, it was very true for me. When I was starting out, it didn't even really occur to me to go knocking on doors virtually or otherwise and asking people, oh, can I write an article for your website? Can I make a video? That didn't even occur to me to do that. What occurred to me was, well, hey, I've got this information. I want to get it out. How do I do that? It's the internet age. I'll start a website. I'll start a podcast. I'll start doing it. And as I've pointed out many times before, if you go back and listen or to my very early podcasts or watch my very early videos, you will see that they were technologically incompetent and not very well produced. But hey, they were something. And the most important part of that is I kept doing it over and over and over and over, and I'd like to think improving along the way, both technically and otherwise. So that, to me, that's the way to do it. Don't sit there waiting for someone to come along with some job offer. Hey, I've heard from the grapevine that you want to do video editing. Well, please do video editing for me. Here's a lot of money. That probably isn't going to happen. Hey, maybe it will. But don't wait for it to happen. Go out there and make your own opportunities happen in whatever way is possible for you. Tip number two. Here's an interesting one that relates to my experience when I was first starting out. When you're first starting out doing something, you've got all this energy and excitement and, hey, this is this new thing that I'm doing. Take that energy, harness it, and use it by setting yourself an unrealistic production goal and then meeting that goal. And that is something I specifically did in the fall of 2007. I remember at that point, I'd been researching this material for some time now at that point. And so when I was browsing through news feeds or looking at what the daily news was from the mainstream world, I could see, oh, you know, this story relates to that. Oh, this story, I know a little bit more about the background of this story. Oh, this story is forgetting to tell its readers about this. And every single day there was something popping up on the news feeds that I knew I have something to say about that. So I thought to myself, you know, I bet I could write an article every single day. And why not? So I started to do that. And there was a period of time for, I believe, a couple of months there in the fall of 2007, where literally every single day, rain or shine, no matter what was happening in my life, I carved out some time to write an article. And it's crazy thinking back on it, but I did that. And while working my full-time job, coming home at night and doing that. And I did that for, I can't remember how many weeks I did that, but I did it. And I remember at the time even thinking, this is a bit crazy, but I'm going to do it because I can. And then I did, and I showed myself that I can do it. And I think harnessing that early enthusiasm and energy that people have when they're first getting into something is it's a good way of using that energy for something not only obviously productive, that will obviously be notches in your belt, laurels in your crown, whatever, you know what I mean. But also, it will be that thing that you can look back on later when that initial enthusiasm and energy wears off and things start to become routine and more chore-ish and, oh, I don't know if I can do this. You can think back to that time you did that incredibly unrealistic thing and you did it. And you can go, hey, you know, maybe I can do this. So even to this day, that still serves me well, that I had that crazy idea and I did it. And so I know that I can do it. All right. Tip number 3, develop a workflow that works for you. And if it ain't working, you got to fix it and tinker with it until it does work for you. But once you find that workflow, it makes things so much easier. And here's a specific example from my own work that has developed over the years. I didn't used to do this, but I have done this for the last several years, and it really does help me. If I ever get stuck for something to talk about or an idea, or I don't know what to write about in my editorial this weekend. It doesn't happen often, but it does happen sometimes. And if it ever does, I have a handy tool in my tool belt that I can turn to for precisely that. Specifically, when an interesting story goes through the news wires and I see something or I pick up on some nugget of information that I know, oh, if I delve into that, I bet you there's a podcast episode in that, or I bet you I could write a good article about that. When there's one of those types of stories, rather than simply just saving it away for later, what I do is I create a draft post on the back end of my website, and I store that information in the draft post, and I give it a title. Hey, if I was going to make a podcast about this, what would I title it? Something like this. And I save it that way so that later on, again, if I am looking for ideas or I need something to write or talk about, I have a list of draft posts that I can turn to and go, oh yeah, remember that thing? Oh yeah, okay, let's delve into that. And over the years, as I say, I've been doing this for several years now, I now have over 300 drafts stored on my website. So it's an incredibly productive thing. All news and information in the world could stop tomorrow for some reason, but I would still be able to continue talking for many years just based on what I've already accumulated. And it's a rotating list. As I take one of those drafts and develop it into a podcast or an article, it comes out of the draft folder, obviously, but then I'm adding more all the time. So the list is only ever growing. And so now, I have 300 drafts of various ideas that are floating around out there that I have some information stored up for. That is part of a workflow that I've developed that makes things easier for me. I never, ever, ever will get stuck thinking about, oh, what should I talk about? I've got the list ready to go if and when that ever happens. So obviously, your mileage will vary depending who you are, what you're doing, the way you do things, and the million different variables that play into this. But whatever it is, find the workflow that works for you that makes something manageable, usually just something small that's in bite-sized chunks that will, over time, accumulate into something big. Speaking of which, that leads us to tip number 4, which is, to butcher an old phrase, habits make for useful servants, but frightful masters. By which I mean, of course, when we think of habits, we often think of bad habits, things that we want to break. And obviously those exist, things that you shouldn't be doing, but you can't stop. It's a habit, it's your routine, it's what you do all the time. But habits don't necessarily have to be bad. You can have good habits, of course, right? So why not foster and cultivate good habits? Which is, instead of thinking about the big picture, just think of those tiny things that you do every day or every week or whatever it is that you can start making part of a routine that becomes a habit. A routine over a period of weeks or months will eventually become a habit that you'd almost have to try to break in order to stop doing it. And those tiny little habits, even though they seem insignificant, they can over time accrue into something more important. Here's, again, a specific example that I've mentioned before. Back in 2006, I was reading an article on BBC News about a hiker in the Japanese woods who had fallen down, hit his head, and essentially slipped into a coma, but it wasn't just a coma. His body entered some state of suspended animation, almost, although the temperatures had fallen, this was in November or December, the temperatures were falling, and he should have developed hypothermia, he should have dehydrated, he was there apparently for weeks before he was discovered, but his body had fallen into some state of suspended animation or other in which doctors were saying, this is crazy, it's a miracle, you know, we don't know exactly what process happened here, but anyway, he survived, he was taken into hospital, he was out a few days later, totally fine. Anyway, the point of that story was that that story at that time struck me as, wow, that's a weird story. And it was so weird that I knew I might want to reference this later on. This might be an important story for something. I don't know what that something is, but it might be important. I should probably save this story in some way. And so that was the first time that at least I can remember specifically saving a news story to my hard drive. And of course, that was the first time, but it wasn't the last. Well, then I came across another story and another story and another story. So I started saving more and more stories. And then eventually, well, I'm not just saving them in some general news folder. Now I've got to start sorting these things. So then you start, okay, so here's science news, health news, geopolitics news, food news, whatever it is. And you start developing a folder system. And then there's subfolders. Well, it's not just geopolitics. This is specifically about Brazil. This is about Argentina. This is about Venezuela. This is about Taiwan. Whatever. And then you get an elaborate system of folders. And over, again, it's a tiny little habit. As I'm reading news and going through the news wires, I'm not just passively reading. I'm actively engaged, thinking, okay, is this something I want for later? Okay, I'll save it. Where am I going to save it? It's a process. And it's a tiny little thing, but now it is a habit for me. I couldn't imagine going through my newsfeed without engaging in that habit. And what has that amounted to over the course of now however many years I've been doing this, close to 20 years, is an incredibly large, vast trove of news stories that I've filed over the years. That now means, for example, again, if I'm thinking about doing a specific episode on Brazil or whatever it is, I can go to my Brazil folder and there's all the news stories I've saved over the years, and I can just flip through and see what information I already have. That's useful. And as I've pointed out before, for example, I did a previous Solutions Watch episode on The Highlighter is Mightier Than the Sword, in which I showed this process of saving the file and what my folder directory looks like and all of that. But in that episode, I did point out that just the act of saving the file itself actually, in some way, I think, helps embed that information in my brain. That's the way my brain works. When I actually actively save a news story, it helps me to remember that that story exists, so that later on, I can go, oh yeah, didn't I see a news story about that? And then I can go find it in my folder directory. So, again, it's a tiny little habit, but it is helpful. And speaking of tiny little habits that are helpful, go see that Highlighter is Mightier Than the Sword edition of Solutions Watch for, obviously, the idea of highlighting information, which, again, I think is just a good mnemonic type of device that I use to help remember some of this information and put it in the long-term memory. Anyway, those are simple little things that don't seem like much, but they're the types of habits that once you cultivate those and put them and make them part of the routine, over time, they will amount to something. And if I keep saying over time, it will amount to something, that's because point number five is, I think, I'm not here to tell you what to do or how to do it, but if you are interested in being around for the long term, if you want to start producing media content, but not just as a flash in the pan, whiz bang, Instagram, TikTok influencer who will be here today, gone tomorrow, if you want to develop something for the long-term future, you have to develop and cultivate long-term thinking as to what you're doing. And let me put that in more concrete terms. As I've talked about, I think, in the past, back in the day, in the early days of YouTube, when I first got on that platform, at that time, there were no original, you couldn't make your own thumbnail image for a video. You know, those images that you see before you click on the video when you're just scrolling through the homepage of YouTube. Did you know YouTube used to have an actual homepage that everybody in the world would see? Crazy, right? Anyway, when you're scrolling through and looking, you will see that image and decide whether you want to click on that video. But back in the day, that wasn't customizable. It was just a screen grab from the video itself. So there was nothing you could do about it, right? Well, not quite, because at that time, at least for a certain period of time, what YouTube did was take the exact center of the video, whatever the exact middle frame was, they would use that as the thumbnail image for the video. So, of course, when I thought about that and learned about that, the thought did occur to me, you know, okay, so what if I put some bikini model in a photograph right dead set in the center of this video about 9/11 truth or whatever, and I title it, you know, Bikini Babe on the Beach. And so, Bikini Babe on the Beach, and they've got, there's the image of the Bikini Babe on the Beach. That'll make people click, right? Well, it probably would have, and then they would have clicked, and they would have seen me talking about 9/11 or something like that. What? So, I did think about that for all of 2 seconds before I realized, I don't want to do that. For many reasons. One of which is, if I'm trying to spread truth and talk about the truth, I probably don't want to use lies and manipulation and deception in order to get people in to hear about that. That's probably not going to be the right strategy. But also, just in terms of my integrity, that might work once or twice. But once people realize, oh, this is the guy that does that, that will they ever click again? Should they? Probably not, right? Oh, this is the guy that tricks people into watching videos. Obviously, I think that's the wrong strategy. So I never did that, and that's just an example of thinking for the long term. Yeah, there are many, many, many ways you can get the clicks and get the attention and get people talking. You can make stuff up and say crazy nonsense and whatever. But is that the way you want to really proceed if you're thinking long term? Like, I don't want to be here next week or next month. I want to be here 10 years from now, 20 years from now. I want people to look at a body of work that I've created over the course of my lifetime and go, you know, that guy had some integrity. He wasn't always right. I didn't always agree with him, but at least he was consistent. He was honest. Those are the types of things that will redound to your credit in the long term. So I think, again, I'm talking very specifically in terms of a content creator like myself, but I think this applies no matter what it is you are doing. Have integrity, have honesty, make those traits baked into the cake of who you are and the, whatever service you're offering so that people may not recognize it today, may not recognize it tomorrow. You may not stand out, you may not grab attention, but over time, and for me anyway, something that I like to see is, does somebody have a track record? Have they been doing this for years? Have they demonstrated consistency, integrity, honesty? Those are things that will amount to something over the long term. And better than the short-term fix. Can you imagine if I had just jumped on every QAnon sense or whatever bandwagon that was passing through the online media? And I've seen many, many such bandwagons over the years. If I was jumping on every one trying to garner some of that attention and with yummy, yummy clicks, yay, I win the internet with the fake internet points. No, that's not the way to proceed. And so I think long-term strategizing is better than short-term strategies for trying to get people's attention. Having said that, again, those are 5 just general tips, pieces of advice. I don't know if they'll be useful to you. I think they're just generally useful no matter what walk of life you're involved in, but hey, your mileage will vary as I say. Having said all of that, if you are interested in getting into something along the lines of very independent media production and saying no to the NWO, all I can say is welcome. The more the merrier. And I've always said that, and I continue to say that. I think this is the time. We are living through an incredible time of incredible opportunity where literally a nobody in his living room in Japan can be doing a podcast originally with a beat up old laptop and a microphone and eventually reaching millions of people around the world. I still can barely comprehend that that is possible, but it is. So come join, the more the merrier. Anyway, having said that, thank you all again for your time and attention. If you are interested in my work, I have thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of media material in my archives completely for free, CorbettReport.com. I invite you to check out my work there, and I think that's going to do it for today. Thank you again to all of you for attending. Thank you to Richard Grove for his invitation here today, and enjoy the rest of the program. Hey, James here again. I hope you enjoyed that presentation, and if you did, you can enjoy it again this coming Saturday during the actual live Very Independent Producer Summit. And once again, the link to universityofreason.com where you can find out more about this will be in the show notes, so you can go and find out more about the actual stream that will be happening, who will be speaking at it, the types of topics that will be covered, etc. Having said that, again, I realize not everybody in the crowd is going to want to become or be a media producer or a podcaster or whatever it is that I am. So I hope that those ideas and things that I picked up along the path over the past couple of decades, I hope they're useful to you in whatever walk of life you're in. Having said that, I want to throw in a little treat here at the end for Solutions Watch viewers specifically. You note that I talked about during that, talking about my workflow and routine, and I talked about that practice of saving drafts to the website when I come across an interesting tidbit. Well, as I say, I have 300 plus drafts now accrued in that drafts folder, and so I will never run out of things to talk about. Well, as a little bonus treat for subscribers to the Corbett Report, this past weekend, I hope you saw that I posted a September open thread and subscriber video. And in that subscriber video, if you are a Corbett Report member, a paying member of the website, and you log in, you can see the subscriber video, wherein I take, just on a lark, these 300 ideas that I have. I took six of the the most interesting ones that I've got cooking, and I put them out there for a vote. Yes, in my performative contradiction. Well, this isn't a democracy, really, per se. I'm choosing what you're voting on. But I put it out to the members of the Corbett Report website. Of these six ideas, which one do you want to see fleshed out into a Corbett Report episode or an article or something? And so people are in the process of voting right now on that September open thread. If you're interested in that, go check out the September open thread. If you are a Corbett Report paying member and want to participate in that selection process, of course, you are invited to log into the website and do so. If you don't know how to do that, just get in touch with me. I'm happy to walk you through that. If you're not a Corbett Report paying member yet, I would highly encourage you to become one, if only to support this work. But yes, please, as always, I'm going to say I keep no information behind the paywall. My subscriber videos and everything else is of no relevance, or there's no data, there's no hidden information. I don't have any hidden secrets behind a paywall. Everything that I do of any consequence whatsoever is 100% totally, completely, freely available. So please do not subscribe just for a subscriber video. You will be disappointed. But do subscribe if you want to support my work. Having said all of that, again, I hope you got something out of today's presentation, and I am looking forward to the continuation of all of the Corbett Report material in the days and weeks to come. I hope you'll be along with me for that ride. But in the meantime, thank you for your time and attention. James Corbett. CorbettReport.com.